I haven't really shaken many hands this morning, but I don't think I'm contagious. I did have a cold earlier in the week on Monday. I had kind of a sore throat and then developed a cough. And Friday morning, woke up and told Mary, I said, well, I'm well. I didn't have any cough and everything was gone. And then yesterday morning, my grandson had a football game. And they had freshly cut the grass. And so I went out there and sat for 2 hours watching the football game up in Middle Valley. And by the time I got home, my eyes were running, my nose was running, and I realized that I probably shouldn't have gotten out there and done that. And then I had some grass seed put down in the yard, and I went to Ace Hardware and brought a bale of straw. And that wasn't very smart either. And so I think what I've got today is my general fall. I have allergies generally throughout the year, but it seems like fall is always worse. There must be something in fall that I'm allergic to, because once fall comes along, I'm always, every week I have this cough and sneezing and so forth. So I don't think that's contagious, but at any rate, stay away from me. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let me just pause there, because I always fail to mention this, almost always, to welcome the people that join in via the internet. And the reason I wanted to stop today is because I had a couple of messages this week, a couple this morning, about the messages for the conference. They want to know if they're going to be on YouTube. They are already on our website, understandingyourbible.com. They're not on Facebook, but they will be on YouTube as soon as we get them uploaded there. So they'll be available both on our website and on YouTube. Some people want to share them with others, and so you can do that. And we do appreciate everybody that tunes in, both on Facebook and on the website, understandingyourbible.com. And all the messages are archived there on our website anytime you want to go back and listen to something that you may have missed. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, again in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, there are several words and several phrases that relate to our salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. A couple of them are used right here. The forgiveness of sins, obviously. Redemption. Also, the word justification. Righteousness. Sanctification. All of those words relate to things that take place when we are saved. And I want to talk to you this morning primarily about redemption. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of these Bible words and go into some detail about the meaning of these words, because sometimes they are misunderstood. For example, when you teach that all sins were paid for at Calvary, many times people are going to immediately identify you as one that believes in universal salvation. And that's not at all what I believe. I believe that the sins of the world were paid for at Calvary. Christ died for our sins. He reconciled the world unto himself. And in my mind today, sin is not the real issue. The issue is unbelief. And people are not redeemed. The redemption price was paid, but they cannot say they have redemption until they trust Christ as their Savior. They're not justified. They're not made righteous. They're not sanctified. All that takes place when a person trusts in the finished work of Jesus Christ, believing that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. But I want us to look today particularly at this word redemption because it's used throughout the Bible. And it has a wonderful meaning that sometimes I think is overlooked. If you just look the word redemption up in a dictionary, more than likely you're going to see that it has to do with deliverance by payment of a price. Deliverance by payment of a price. Now, when we go back into the Old Testament, and the word is used, I think, 11 times in the Old Testament, maybe 10, and 9 or 10 in the New Testament, not sure about that, but only 20 times throughout the Scriptures, there's only 20 verses that mention this word redemption, and one of them is right here, in whom we have redemption through His blood. So, what was the payment of the price? It was the blood of Jesus Christ. We have redemption through His blood. But in the Old Testament, redemption is used in a lot of different ways. For example, there's the redemption of a kinsman. Let's go back and look at some of those to get a clear understanding. And back in Leviticus, Leviticus 25, Vince came up and gave me a throat lozenge because I was coughing before we started preaching here this morning. Now, I always think about that story of that preacher who always put a mint in his mouth and it lasted for 35 minutes. And so when the mint was dissolved, he knew it was time to quit preaching. And so one morning he went for about 35 minutes and then it was 45 minutes and then it was an hour. And somebody came up after and they said, "What happened this morning?" He said, "Well, I reached in my pocket and I put a button in my mouth instead of the mint." So if this thing doesn't dissolve eventually, we're going to be here all day. Leviticus chapter 25, notice in verse 21, "Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years, and ye shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year, until her fruits come, and ye shall eat of the old store. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor, and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold." So, in those verses we have a picture of what is called the kinsman redeemer. In other words, the land could be sold, and then it could be bought back, paid for, and it's called redeeming the land. But if you were poor and you couldn't afford to redeem the land, then a kinsman could come forth and redeem the land. Look down in verse 51. "If there be yet many years behind, according unto them, he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain but few years until the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him, and according unto his years shall he give him again the price of his redemption." So the redemption can refer to redeeming a piece of land. It can refer to redeeming an individual. But it has to do with deliverance. Look over in Numbers, in the book of Numbers. In Numbers chapter 23. I'm sorry, Numbers 3. Numbers 3. I'll get there eventually. in Numbers chapter 3. Notice there in verse 46. And for those that are to be redeemed, of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, thou shalt even take 5 shekels apiece by the pole after the shekel of the sanctuary shalt thou take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. Now, this redemption process was a rather complex and complicated process, and we could spend hours probably going back and reading all the verses in relation to that. But the point is that redemption in the Old Testament was used in reference to redeeming land. It was redeeming people. It was a form of deliverance, and it was also a ransom. Look in Psalms 111. And the reason I wanted to look at these verses is the Old Testament redemption really paints a picture of the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. In Psalms 111, in verse 9, the Bible says, He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding. And of all they that do His commandments, His praise endureth forever. And then over in Psalms 130, you remember Paul said, Christ gave Himself what? A ransom for all. A price was paid for our redemption. In Psalms 130, in verse number 7 says, Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all His iniquities. So in the Old Testament, redemption was applied to property. It was applied to animals. It was applied to individuals. And it was applied to the nation of Israel as a whole. And in nearly every instance, freedom from obligation or from bondage or danger was secured by the payment that was made by the individual that paid a ransom, or a satisfaction or a sum of money to obtain the freedom or favor of reconciliation. So that draws a great picture of men in the Old Testament redeeming property, animals, and individuals that were legally obligated to God or in bondage for other reasons. Now the Bible says that you and I were sold under sin. And so there was a need for us to be bought, if you will. And only God alone, and while we're here in Psalms, look in Psalms 130. I'm sorry, that's the wrong passage, I believe. Yeah. He says there in verse 8, I want to read that again. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Later on, we're going to read a verse over here when we get to it that no man can by any means redeem his brother in relation to eternal redemption. All of the redemption that we've read about here and that I've mentioned, slaves, prisoners, whatever, they were obligated to God or in bondage, but they were redeemed by the payment of a price. Deliverance by payment of a price, as we gave the definition in the beginning. The New Testament, on the other hand, emphasizes the cost of redemption. Because redemption in the New Testament is always in relation to the redemption of individuals from sin. as we read in Ephesians chapter 1. And this is not simply a dispensational issue. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. The redemption that was paid was universal, folks, in the sense of it was made available. It was not universal in that it was attributed to every individual, but it was made available to every individual. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I've got a different Bible up here this morning, and it's driving me nuts. I thought I had lost my other one, but I see it now. It's right down there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Those traditions of your fathers are what we just read about in the Old Testament. All kinds of things were redeemed back there. Peter says, you're not redeemed with those kind of things. He said, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the New Testament redemption has to do with the blood of Jesus Christ and being redeemed by that blood, as in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption. It's the atoning sacrifice. Back in Romans chapter 3, it's called a propitiation. Look back there in Romans chapter 3. In Romans 3, in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Excuse me. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, when you read those verses, I hope it brings to mind the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because there are many people, even those that claim to be fundamental in their beliefs, that say that it was not by the blood of Christ that we were saved, but simply by His death. A notable man, and I generally don't call the names of people, but this man has a large ministry and has for years. His name is John MacArthur. And John MacArthur, in his book, The Gospel According to Jesus, clearly states that we are not saved by the blood of Jesus. That we are saved by the death of Jesus Christ. I remember listening to him preach and on the radio, and when I traveled a lot, and he was on Moody Bible Radio. And when he started teaching this doctrine of the salvation that came through following Jesus, one of the things that he did was eliminate the doctrine of the blood. And I remember he was reading in Colossians chapter 1. And he read the verse, and he read it like this, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so I had my Bible laying on the front seat there, and the next opportunity I pulled over and I turned to that verse in the Bible, thinking I remembered exactly what it said, and it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. There was a movement by a large denominational system back in the mid-80s that removed blood from all the hymnals. The Good News for Modern Man that I was using back in the 70s That was just the Southern Baptist Convention distributed literally millions of copies of this translation of the New Testament, which was about as corrupt as you could ever get. The word blood was never used in that Bible. Folks, there's something significant about all that. And it's because of the significance of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When he hung on that cross, he didn't just die. There were two men there that died beside him. What they did had nothing to do with your salvation. They couldn't save you. Because no man can by any means redeem his brother. Our redemption came through the very blood of God that flowed through the veins of Jesus Christ. Look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. You know, there's a lot of doctrines that people kind of just look over that are taught in many denominational systems that have great meaning that they don't assign that the true meaning to them. For example, there are people that don't believe in the virgin birth. They say they believe in Jesus Christ, but he was born of a man, and they believe in Jesus, that Jesus Christ died for their sins. Well, that couldn't be. Because one man cannot redeem another. Jesus Christ was a man, but he was the God-man. God, he stepped out of heaven's glory and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And I believe in that likeness, he willingly agreed not to exercise all the attributes of that deity. But he was still deity. He was still God manifest in the flesh. And Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God," notice, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." Well, the reference there is the church of God, which he, God, purchased with his own blood. So when Christ shed his blood on Calvary, it was the price of our redemption. Look over in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Before we read there, let me go back just a second. Look back in John chapter 8. Hold on, Hebrews 9. Go back to John chapter 8. You see, folks, people should rejoice. We don't rejoice in the sufferings of Christ in the sense that we're glad and thankful that he had to suffer, but we rejoice in the fact that he did. And he suffered for our sins. In John chapter 8, he says there in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Well, how many in here have committed sin? All right, some of y'all were slow to raise your hand. I'm just going to attribute that to the fact you may still be asleep. You're the servant of sin. Look what Paul says over in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verse 15, What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Say, well then, if we're free from sin, why is it we keep sinning? Well, spiritually speaking, you've been made free from sin because you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But remember what Paul said one chapter later in Romans chapter 7. He says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This body is a body of sin. We've been delivered from the consequence, from the ultimate end of that sin. The sting of death is sin, and Christ took care of that. He died for our sins. He was redeemed for our sins. We've been redeemed, and no longer we don't have to worry about the penalty of sin. Do we still sin? Yes. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But look over in Hebrews, where I told you to turn a moment ago. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once unto the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. That's why I say this redemption, it was made available to all men, for all of mankind. It was made available. The verse I quoted a moment ago, Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Ephesians 1:7, where we started. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And in 1 Peter 1, we read a moment ago, we were not redeemed. They were not redeemed with corruptible things like in the Old Testament, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now, I want you to look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, and I want you to see how this idea of redemption is carried forth in Paul's epistles. In 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Here's the verse. For you are bought with a price. What was that price? The blood of Jesus Christ. You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Just like that Old Testament kinsman redeemer. They had a relative that was not able to pay the debt. And if they were not able to pay, in some cases they would lose their life, they would lose their land, and somebody stepped forward. You and I were sold under sin. Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We are bought with a price. Look over in chapter 7 in verse 23. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherewith he is called therein abide with God. Folks, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We belong to the Lord. And the Lord is not going to relinquish us. I don't care whether you go out and sin or not. It's not going. I do care, even though it wouldn't affect me. But the fact is, when I say I don't care in the sense that it's not going to affect your salvation. What you do in your flesh is not going to change the fact that you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. We belong to Him. We've been adopted into His family. We are the children of God. Paul said in Romans 7:14, the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. And I already quoted the verse in 1 Timothy 2:6, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Not going to take time to turn there because our time is short, but it's interesting. I'll tell you what we will, this one verse. Go back to Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Now I want you to remember that phrase, a ransom for many. Look in Mark chapter 10. People say, well, that's just a different phraseology. Well, let's check it out and see. Look in Mark chapter 10. Verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Well, do you find it interesting that Paul said in the dispensation of the grace of God, He gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time? Folks, many and all are not one and the same. Was there Gentile salvation under that ransom for many? Yes, those that came to God through Israel, blessed Israel. But when Christ died on that cross, God Almighty revealed to Paul that the mystery was He didn't just die for His people. He didn't just redeem the nation Israel as was promised in the Old Testament. He provided redemption for all, and folks, that was kept a secret until it was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. And as Freddie pointed out this morning in Sunday school, gotcha. The reason he did that is the Bible said, had the devil known the mystery, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But he didn't know it. It was kept secret until revealed to Paul, and when Paul revealed it, it opened the door of salvation to all men. That's why Paul says what he does, that he gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And we're living during that due time, folks. You see, the verse I tried to quote a moment ago, Psalms 49, verse 5 through 7 says, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about? They that thrust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. Now notice what it says. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. They could give a ransom. They could pay a price to other men. But there was no price that they could pay to God for their brethren. He is the kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. He died for all. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Folks, we have a wonderful and glorious truth revealed to us through the Apostle Paul. And we'll close with this. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. I think this passage is inserted right where it is to illustrate the fact and demonstrate the fact and drive home the fact that the ground is perfectly level at the foot of the cross. Salvation is available to all, not based on race, not based on creed, not based on anything, but man's dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:11, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. No longer any difference between Jew and Gentile, bond or free. No difference between those that first trusted in Christ and those that later trusted in Christ. He is our peace. He's made both one, broken down the middle wall partition between us, and we've been made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, the fact is that everything that needs to be done for your redemption, you were sold under sin. But today, by believing and trusting in the gospel, you can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The sin was placed on Him at Calvary. The sin was taken care of. The issue today is, will you trust Him? Will you put your faith in what Christ did at Calvary and believe, as the Son of God, He went to that cross, died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day? I hope if you've not done that, you will right now for Christ's sake. Would you stand with me and join me for prayer?